Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I'll offer an update on the case of Mickey Steins. First I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the alleged crime, then offer my analysis. Sean Mickey Steins was born on November 30, 1980, in Whitesburg, Kentucky. He went by the name Mickey. In 1999, he graduated from Fleming Neon High School. In 2000, Mickey moved to McRoberts, Kentucky, and attended community college. At some point, he married a woman named Caroline, and they had a daughter named Lila. In 2001, he became a police officer with the Fleming Neon Police Department, but Mickey was laid off after 7 months due to budget cuts. In 2002, Mickey started working for the Letcher County Sheriff's Office as a court security officer. In 2004, he was hired by East Kentucky Correctional Services as a home incarceration officer. In 2018, Mickey was elected sheriff of Letcher County and was re-elected 4 years later. Now moving to the timeline of the alleged crime. In 2022, Mickey Steins found himself in the middle of a scandal. He had recommended the hiring of a security officer in the Letcher County Courthouse named Benjamin Charles Fields. A woman named Sabrina Adkins accused Benjamin of having sex with her in exchange for failing to enforce a monitoring device fee. She could not afford the weekly fee, so Benjamin offered this deal. She claimed that the sex occurred in the chambers of a district court judge named Kevin Mullins, who was good friends with Mickey Steins. Years earlier, Mickey had worked as a bailiff in Kevin's courtroom. Eventually, another woman came forward. Her name was Jennifer Hill. She accused Benjamin of threatening to have her home incarceration revoked if she did not have sex with him. In January 2024, Benjamin Fields was convicted of offenses related to sex, and Mickey fired him. Mickey was named in a lawsuit alleging that he failed to adequately train and supervise Benjamin. On September 16, 2024, Mickey Steins participated in a deposition related to the lawsuit. He took multiple breaks, appeared to be agitated, and exhibited other unusual behavior. 2 days later, on September 18, Mickey was diagnosed with acute stress reaction. He had been experiencing multiple symptoms, including weight loss, insomnia, paranoia, and erratic behavior. On Thursday, September 19, 2024, at around noon, Sheriff Mickey Steins and his friend, Judge Kevin Mullins, had lunch together at a restaurant not far from the Letcher County Courthouse in Whitesburg, Kentucky. Nobody noticed anything unusual about the interaction between the men. A couple of hours later, at 2:39 p.m., Mickey entered the chambers of Kevin Mullins. At this time, Kevin was there along with two women and one man. As Mickey entered, another man followed him into the chambers, so there were six people in total in Kevin's chambers. At 2:40 p.m., everyone except Mickey and Kevin were asked to leave the chambers. The men were both seated and talking to each other. They appeared to be relaxed. Their interaction was captured on video surveillance, but there was no audio. Between 2:42 p.m. and 2:45 p.m., Mickey stood up and checked the doors in the chambers. There were two doors. Only one is visible on video surveillance. At 2:48 p.m., Mickey started looking at his cell phone. At 2:50 p.m., Kevin handed Mickey his cell phone. So now Mickey had both cell phones. At 2:51 p.m., Mickey attempted to call his daughter using Kevin's phone. He put Kevin's phone on the desk, stood up, and pulled his shirt up to expose a semi-automatic pistol in a holster on his belt. Mickey then walked forward and stood next to the side of Kevin's desk between Kevin and the door to the jury room. Kevin tried to stand up, but it appears as though Mickey ordered him to sit down. Mickey then locked the door to the jury room. At 2:52 p.m., Mickey stepped back and pointed his weapon at Kevin. In response, Kevin raised his left hand and looked away from Mickey. A witness outside the chambers heard a man's voice screaming, "Help! Help!" Mickey fired at Kevin two times. After being struck, Kevin fell out of his chair onto the floor, but he was still alive. Mickey moved to the front of Kevin's desk, leaned over it, held the gun out in front of him toward the backside of the desk, and fired one time down at Kevin. He did this as the judge was crouching behind the desk with one hand on the back of his head. Mickey then made his way to the door to the jury room, pulled it open slightly, before turning back to Kevin, pointing his weapon at him and firing 6 times. 54-year-old Kevin Mullins did not survive. Mickey Steins exited the judge's chambers and walked through the courthouse. The sound of the gunshots had frightened many people, causing them to run outside. Surveillance video captured Mickey calmly walking out of the courthouse. He made his way past a group of people and walked down the street as if nothing happened. At one point, a courthouse staff member approached Mickey and told him to be careful because there was a shooter on the loose. The worker, of course, did not realize that she was talking to the man who perpetrated that shooting. Eventually, Mickey surrendered to police officers outside and was placed under arrest. He told them, "Treat me fair." At another point, he said, "They're trying to kidnap my wife and kid." The police charged Mickey with murder of a public official. On September 30, 2024, Mickey retired from his job as sheriff, mostly because of the killing the judge part. The bizarre killing garnered national media attention. Right away, there was a rumor that the judge had contacted Mickey's daughter, Lila, which of course would have supplied Mickey a motive to kill. Later, this rumor was proven false. Kevin never contacted Mickey's daughter. The only call from Kevin's phone to Lila's phone was the one made by Mickey on the day of the shooting. At the time I'm making this video, Mickey is working his way through the criminal justice system. His trial has not yet been scheduled, and his defense has been trying to build a case based on mental health. Now moving to my analysis. Mickey Steins maintains his innocence, and he has a few supporters. They argue that when he shot Kevin Mullins to death, he was psychotic. Specifically, he was suffering from delusions. Mickey did not understand the difference between right and wrong. The state of Kentucky, of course, disagrees, arguing that Mickey's behavior demonstrated that he understood his actions at the time of the fatal shooting. This brings me to the question, is Mickey Steins guilty of murder? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea that he is guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. Mickey Steins made sure that he was alone with Kevin Mullins in the judge's chambers, then shot him to death. There is no question that he physically carried out the killing. His attorneys have acknowledged that Mickey is the one who pulled the trigger. It is possible that Mickey Steins has schizophrenia or some other mental disorder associated with psychosis like bipolar disorder, major depressive disorder, delusional disorder, or brief psychotic disorder. Even if he was psychotic at the time of the killing, this would not automatically mean that he was legally insane. A person can be psychotic and still understand the difference between right and wrong. This is fairly common. For instance, a man who believes that aliens from another galaxy have invaded his workplace will not attack those aliens because he does not want to be arrested. Or a man who hears messages through a television telling him that politicians are conspiring to kill him will not conceal a gun on his person because he does not have a permit. Many individuals who are psychotic continue to operate within reasonably strict guardrails as far as conforming to the law. The state can argue that Mickey demonstrated a desire to escape responsibility when he checked the doors in the judge's chambers prior to the shooting and abruptly left the courthouse after the shooting. How would he know that escaping responsibility should be a priority if he did not know the difference between right and wrong? Moving to the exculpatory factors, in the weeks leading up to the shooting, many people who knew Mickey had serious concerns about his mental health. His behavior became even more concerning within a few days of the shooting. Here are a few examples. People described him as distant, off, erratic, strange, losing it, and psychotic. They indicated that something was bothering him. His mind was somewhere else. He was losing weight, and he was unable to handle the pressure of that civil lawsuit. Mickey said that someone was plotting to kill his wife and daughter, and even went to his home to check on his family. On the day before the shooting, staff members accompanied Mickey to a physician's appointment. They actually went into the exam room with him, which is consistent with a high level of concern. The physician diagnosed him with an acute stress reaction, but appeared to focus the treatment on insomnia. For instance, Mickey was directed to take over-the-counter melatonin and Benadryl. The physician did not appear to realize that Mickey may be mentally ill. Later that same day, Mickey went to his aunt's home. His aunt said that he was fidgety, could not sleep, was not normal, was not acting like himself, and seemed really freaked out. he remotely checked the surveillance cameras at his house due to concerns about the safety of his wife and daughter. The melatonin and the Benadryl did not have any effect on Mickey. He was still unable to sleep. On the next day, the day of the shooting, Mickey called his aunt and asked where his grandmother was. His grandmother had been dead for 2.5 years. Mickey's defense attorneys have stated that there are many additional witnesses who will testify that Mickey's mental state was severely compromised in the weeks leading up to the killing. Mickey was evaluated in jail. Mental health clinicians reported that he was paranoid, disoriented, unaware of his surroundings, had no recollection of the recent past, did not understand the charges against him, and was responding to internal stimuli. Mickey was in an active state of psychosis. He experienced episodes of combativeness, which required pepper spray-facilitated behavior modification. The state can argue that Mickey checking the doors right before the shooting was a recognition that he understood right from wrong. However, there is another explanation. He checked the doors to ensure he could successfully carry out the killing. Mickey was focused on his objective, which may have been a delusional belief that the killing was necessary to protect his wife and daughter. The state may argue that even if Mickey was suffering from psychosis, it was his responsibility to seek treatment. He knew that he carried a gun for his job. He should have recognized the early mental health symptoms and surrendered his weapon. The defense can argue that Mickey did seek help, but he was misdiagnosed. Again, he was treated for insomnia. It wasn't Mickey's fault that the physician may have been unfamiliar with mental health disorders. Also, one key feature of psychosis is a condition called anosognosia. This is a profound lack of insight. A person who is psychotic does not understand that they are mentally ill. They do not recognize their own behavior as a problem. This insight deficit can appear at the onset of symptoms, so Mickey probably did not comprehend what was happening even in the early stages. It seemed like he was focused on his lack of sleep, just like the physician. When considering all the evidence in this case, do I believe that Mickey Steins is guilty of murder? In my opinion, Mickey can make a plausible argument that he was legally insane. However, I believe that he did understand the difference between right and wrong. He was willing to kill the judge because he thought that would protect his family. Even if one were to accept that Mickey genuinely believed this, it is likely that he recognized that the judge did not present an imminent threat. Mickey knew that killing him was wrong. This is why he surrendered to the police. Mickey understood that he had just committed a crime. As far as escaping responsibility, Mickey's more realistic hope is to be found guilty of manslaughter under the theory that he had an extreme emotional disturbance. This is better than being convicted of murder and could be considered a tremendous victory for Mickey considering how he pointed his gun at a judge and fired multiple times. At first glance, a conviction for murder seemed certain. Now, it is reasonable to believe that Mickey has a chance of a lesser conviction. Maybe he could even avoid conviction altogether, although I think that is unlikely. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Mickey developed some type of mental disorder featuring psychosis and became paranoid. Specifically, he thought that someone intended to harm his wife and daughter. It was pretty obvious to people around him that something was wrong, but they did not have mental health training. They did not know what they were looking at. Furthermore, Mickey was the sheriff. People looked up to him. They respected him. There was a fear about labeling him mentally ill. Even so, staff members did go with him to see a physician. Unfortunately, this physician did not appear to be familiar with mental health either and focused only on the sleeping difficulty. Insomnia is a common symptom, warning sign, and prodromal feature of psychosis. It can also intensify or temporarily produce psychotic symptoms. The treatment provider did not understand the bidirectional relationship between insomnia and psychosis. Mickey was essentially left to figure everything out on his own. On the next day, Mickey continued to obsess over concerns that his wife and daughter were in danger. He became fixated on Kevin Mullins as the source of this danger. Kevin never had any contact with Mickey's wife or daughter. Mickey was delusional. In his current mental state, Mickey may never fully understand his actions. He may be frozen in time, forever believing that he saved his family, while everyone else sees the reality. He killed his friend, destroyed his own life, and turned a courthouse into the scene of an execution. Those are my thoughts on the case of Mickey Steins. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.